So all month we've been talking about counterculture, and I want to wrap this up today. And a counterculture is a culture in which we run the opposite direction of the values or established norms of what society says. How many of you know there's a difference today between the kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness? How many of you know there are two opposing kingdoms in the world in which we live? How many of you know today that Jesus said, Father, they're not of the world, just like I'm not of the world? Can we grab hold of that just for a second? That just like Jesus came from heaven to earth and was not of this earth, so you and I are born on earth but headed towards heaven, and we are pilgrims passing through. And so it's this concept of counterculture that God's called us to live, this separate, this different lifestyle, this lifestyle that is like Christ in a lost and dying world. And so it's an amazing opportunity we have to be lights in a dark place that are shining like stars. And so as we've seen this past month, the book of Daniel is our backdrop. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are these teenage boys that are taken and they're brought into captivity into a foreign land. And there in that land, they begin to live counterculture. And the reality is they don't allow culture to change them. All of a sudden, through the influence of God and the Spirit of God in their lives and the wisdom of God, they begin to transform culture. And so, Jake, that's the question we're asking. Am I going to change the world, or is the world going to change me? Let's ask that today. Are you going to change the world, or is the world going to change you? Because the reality is, God didn't create you to make a living. God created you to make a difference. And so we've got to get our eyes off of the day-to-day, routine, mundane things that we can become so entrapped by. And we must keep our eyes on the fact that we're here for a season, but we're also here for a reason. Can somebody say amen today? Which means we have a purpose, we have a calling that we must embrace and answer to. And that calling consecrates us, it sets us apart, it makes us different. And because of God's calling on our life, we live like these men did with something we call conviction. Somebody say conviction. In other words, we know what we will do and we know what we won't do, and we're willing to stand for that. It gives us a backbone. We refuse to compromise, which means our souls are not for sale. It means we live with character. It means we live with an understanding that we have a destiny. We are headed somewhere, hallelujah. There's more to life than what you see. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tell them today, there's more to life than what you see. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, there's more to me than what you see. Come on, there's somebody on the inside. There's three parts of me, spirit, soul, and body. And on the inside, I look a whole lot better than I do on the outside. My inner man is getting renewed day by day by day. Praise God for that today. And so Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. If you have a Bible, let's go there today. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your word today. And Father, we ask that you'd help us to receive everything you would have for us. Holy Spirit, come and transform our hearts. Change us from the inside out. Make us more like you than ever before. God, make us to know the length of our days. And God, make our lives count for your glory because you gave us your best. Father, if there's anyone here today that doesn't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that before they walk out of this place this morning, God, they would call on your name and they would be saved and they would taste and see how good you are, and it would produce change in their heart. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Can you just give him praise on credit for what he's about to do? Amen. So we're in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Here's what it says. It says, then this Daniel distinguished himself, he set himself apart above the governors and satraps, being an excellent, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. I like that. Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, or the other leaders, because an excellent spirit was in him. What was it that set Daniel apart? An excellent spirit. Somebody say the spirit of excellence. And the king saw that it was recognizable in Daniel, and he gave thought to promoting him over the entire realm. This morning I want to talk to you about the spirit of excellence, and this is something that is critical. This is something that marks us, it will set us apart, it will cause people to look at your life and give glory to God. And so let's talk about it for a minute this morning. I want to begin with this simple understanding that we serve an excellent God, and he sent his excellent son. How many of you believe Jesus is excellent? I mean, he is excellent. He's as excellent as you get. Now, I grew up in the 80s and we had Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Excellent! Well, Jesus was excellent. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Actually, the Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verse 36 and 7 in the Message, it says, Jesus urged them to keep quiet, but they talked it up all the more besides themselves with excitement. Here's what I want you to zero in on. He's done it all and done it well. He's done it all and done it well. He's done it all and he's done it well. Well, how many of you know there's a difference between doing it all and doing it well? Some people try to accomplish a lot, but we don't get it all done very well. I like to say it like this. There's a difference between, Calvin, getting it done and getting it right. Matter of fact, I told a contractor the other day, I said, I don't want to get it done. I want to get it right. There's a difference there. But Jesus did both. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, everybody's in this race running. But if you're going to run, if y'all are going to run, y'all didn't know he was from the South, did you? The Apostle Paul said, if you're going to run, run to win. In other words, look, we're running. Start running to win. Run with everything you got. Be excellent at it. So the question comes up, what then is excellence? Well, let's define that. We're going to spend our time together today defining it so you can get it into your spirit, start living it this week. Excellence is the continual pursuit of improvement. I love that. Jesus, I mean, he was great at everything he did. It's the continual pursuit of improvement. We continually are striving for improvement, not just growing older, but getting better. Some people get old, but they don't get good. Age doesn't look well on them. I'm talking about better, not just older. And so one of the things we do and we strive for here is we do everything with excellence or we don't do it. Everything is under constant review. Everything we do, every process, everything you see. And if it's not meeting the standard we believe that is glorifying to God, we fix it or we replace it or we repair it. But we're constantly looking for ways to take what we've got and make it better. Why? Because everything we do matters, which brings me to my next point. Excellence is doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. Well, every person here feels like, well, I'm just an ordinary person. Welcome to the club. But what sets apart ordinary people from extraordinary people? It's very simply this. It's doing ordinary things that everybody else thinks, you know, whether I do my best, it's optional. It's doing those things extraordinarily well. Why? Because everything you do tells a story. Everything you do says you care or you don't care. Everything you do is being watched by those around you. And so we've made it our aim to not do anything that doesn't glorify God simply because that's the number one person you represent. Let me try that again. The number one person you represent is not your ancestors. It's not your last name. It's not your daddy. It's not your company. It's not even you. It's Jesus Christ. And so, again, everything I do tells a story. And so I need to be so good at everything I do that it points people to the cross of Jesus Christ and lets them know there is power in that cross to transform your life when you come and bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and he will change you. And so I'm using my everyday, ordinary life, these mundane things I'm doing, and I'm doing them in such a way that people can recognize it. It sets me apart and they will see that the sheen on my life is the glory of Jesus Christ himself. How many of you know today we don't have to pray for the glory of God? The Bible says the glory of God already belongs to born again believers. The glory of Jesus Christ is already yours as a born again child of God. Jesus himself told us that in his final prayer to the Father before he goes home. One of those last moments as he's praying for unity, he's saying that my glory is theirs. Thank God today that the glory, the radiance, the greatness, the goodness, the majesty of God himself is shining in our lives. Excellence is doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. So we do it right, regardless of whether people are watching or not, because we know that God is watching. I love what Martin Luther King Jr., he said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets, look at this, so well that all the host of heaven and earth pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Everything we do matters. Now, let's address a lie. I've got to have money to be excellent. That couldn't be any farther from the truth. Here's another one. I've got to have new things to be excellent. Look, I don't care if you drive a 1962 Plymouth whatever, I have washed and waxed rust plenty of times in my life. If I'm going to have something Steve Bidlack, I'm going to do everything I got to make it look worth something for the glory of God. How many of y'all know that's true today? And look, if you got a car and you have McDonald's, God bless you. We'll pray for you. But when you throw that sack in the back seat, that's okay. Just make sure you grab it when you get out of the car and you get home. I see some people's cars, our dumpster out back is cleaner than their car. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And people walk by that, you got to go, I go to Victory Church sticker on your car. And meanwhile, the only backdrop behind it in the window is all the sacks of McDonald's piled up that everybody can see. And so we've got to make sure we take care of what we got. That's godly. Let me try that again. That's godly. Let's just do some nuts and bolts today. I love it that I have my grandfather, Jimmy Williams, 1999 GMC Sierra, that little red truck, and I drive it almost more than that black one, and I love driving it around town, but people stop me constantly. And the reality is that truck is 18 years old and has 187,000 miles on it. And it is a testament to the fact that my granddad did everything with excellence. It runs like it's brand new and people cannot believe it when they see it. Why? Why does that truck stand out? It stands out because it was taken care of. When we are people of excellence, we take care of things because everything matters. Somebody say, everything matters. I just believe everything we do ought to have a freshness to it. It ought to feel like it's full of life. Y'all know there's a difference between being poor and being dirty. Well, that was fun in church today. There's a difference between being poor and being dirty. Me and Marshall like to say elbow grease is free. In other words, it don't cost you nothing to scrub it a little extra. She always says it like this, you can always do better for less. You can always do better for less. So what is excellence? Excellence is paying attention to the details. It's paying attention to the details. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, we have the account of creation. And the Bible says that heaven and earth were finished down to the last detail. How many of y'all know there was a lot of details in making the earth? I mean, if it's just 1 degree off its axis, we freeze to death or we burn up. If it's going too fast, things go bad. If it's going too slow, things go bad. Heaven and earth were finished down to the last detail. God paid attention to every detail when he created the world. Nothing was left undone. Well, the only way we're ever going to be a people of excellence is to start paying attention to details. The reality is the world practices this principle. As a matter of fact, NASA, the space program, Anna is a total space nerd right now. I mean, she loves everything space. We took her to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum this year, and she loves it. And we were sitting there watching a show last week. It was not one of them alien shows. It was Space's Deepest Secrets. And that one was about the space shuttle and how the shuttle was one of the most amazing accomplishments of NASA in our generation. But the success of every mission that NASA flies depends on their level of excellence and attention to detail. And as we were watching that show, John, they began to interview people and they made this statement. They said both shuttle disasters, tragedies, were preventable. And they came as a result of people who got sloppy and relaxed their standards. Well, details determine the success or the failure of their mission, right? I want you to think about the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus had to come and fulfill the law to every last letter and every last detail. Jesus' mission completion depended upon him paying attention to every detail. And so when he went to the cross, he was qualified because he lived a detail-oriented life. Details are what set us apart. It's not the big stuff, but it's the finishing touches. It's the little things we just let go. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vines. It's the little things that begin to corrupt and crowd in on our life. And the difference between something good and something great is very simply attention to details. I think about Cody Martin. Some years ago, Beth, he gave me a book by Coach John Wooden. And I love this quote. He said, "It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen." Little things make big things happen. Let's read that together. Little things make big things happen. Can you say amen to that today? And so people of excellence are people who pay close attention to what other people ignore. It's the little things that make a big difference in our life. You know, one of the things I love is that when people walk into this place, it feels fresh, it feels new, it feels clean. And this building will be is over 9 years old. And so when they come in, they want to know how old the building is. Every piece of baseboard, every piece of trim, every window has been freshly painted or cleaned. Why? Because we represent Jesus. This is God's house. God's word is not broken down. God's word is not neglected. God's word is not dilapidated. God pays attention to every detail of our lives and he delights in them. So when people see a place that is cared for this meticulously, then they know that they're going to be cared for the exact same way. Because again, how many of you know everything we do tells a story? And so if you drive by and siding's falling off and there's a hole in the roof nobody fixed and there's weeds everywhere, then people are going to keep on driving because they're going to say, if you don't care enough to take care of the physical things, why should I entrust you with the spiritual things in my life? I think we ought to just take a break right now and let all those know who take care of this building how much we love and appreciate them. They do a phenomenal job. Those who clean, those who do the maintenance, those who do the lawn care, I thank God for every single one of them. Now, let's talk about something very important. Satan always takes something good and he twists it. Isn't that true? He takes something one step too far, and we start with something that's very godly and we end up with something very ungodly. We start with something that is beneficial for our lives and we end up with something that will destroy our lives. And so let me just say what excellence isn't. You know, a lot of times we define something by saying what it's not. Excellence is not perfection. Excellence is not perfection. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you're going to get in trouble. But everybody here knows somebody who's a perfectionist, right? And the perfectionist sounds like this. I'm not really a control freak, but can I show you the right way to do that? And so perfectionism is not godly. However, excellence is godly. Perfectionism is taking excellence one step too far. If it takes you 15 minutes to clean the peephole on your door at home, you might be a perfectionist. Perfectionists drive themselves and everybody else around them crazy. And you can't help people who are perfectionists, very simply because they won't let you. They believe that no one else can do it as good as they can. And for that reason, perfectionists limit the spirit of cooperation or being a team player. They don't mean to, but they can come across very degrading and demeaning to others around them. And they limit the abilities of other people. They have an unrealistic standard and an expectation that nobody can live up to, but listen to this, not even themselves. And so because of that, they're tormented because nothing is ever good enough. They can be driven by fear, full of anxiety, restless, insecure, territorial. They can be loners, critical, never able to enjoy the view because they're always finding fault. They can be very rigid and very legalistic. There is no joy in their journey or in the destination. I was talking to Leslie Kinsman this week, and he said something I loved. He said, the journey is the destination. The journey is the destination. And so my point to you today is simply this. God's path is paved with peace. Amen? God's path is paved with peace, not with panic. And if you say, I'm a person who struggles with perfectionism in my life, let me show you what God's word says in Matthew 11:28. This will help you tremendously. Because perfectionism wears us down and wears them out. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Somebody say religion. Now remember what religion is. Religion is a set of rules where you have to earn God's approval. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is about relationship. I have a walk with God, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary for me. Praise God for that. And here's what Jesus says. He says, if you're a perfectionist, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. When we struggle with perfectionism, or we're OCD, we need to rest. We have no rest on the inside. Verse 29. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. So he says that Jesus does it different. Jesus wasn't a hard driving taskmaster. He said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, grace is not just forgiveness of sin, but grace is literally life fuel. It empowers us. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Verse 30, keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, I don't know about you, but I love that. That makes me feel better just reading it. I'll teach you how to live freely and how to live lightly. Come on, somebody say, I am free in Jesus' name. Can you give him praise that you're free today in the name of Jesus? Amen. Excellence. So excellence is a commitment to go beyond what is required or expected. Excellence is a commitment to go beyond what is required or what is expected. It's the difference, again, between getting it done and getting it right. We call it the Rebecca principle. Abraham was obviously married to Sarah. They had a son named Isaac. But the time came when Abraham needed to choose a wife for Isaac. And so as he sends out his oldest servant, the one who had been with him the longest, it speaks of loyalty. And God has called us to be a people of loyalty, but he sends his most loyal servant who had been with him the longest, probably knew him the best, to choose a wife for his son. Here's what Genesis chapter 24, verse 14 says. It says, may it be, and this is the prayer of that servant, that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Some of y'all are like, who cares? I don't know nothing about camels. That does not mean a thing to me, but you're about to find out why this sets her apart. So she gives him a drink and his camels too. That's the prayer of this servant that he would know she's the one. And he says, let her be the one. Somebody say the one. You have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Verse 18 says, so she said, he gets there. And this is what she says when he meets this woman. Drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Verse 19. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. She didn't say, I'll just give them a drink. She said, I'm going to let them drink until they're full. Verse 20. And then she quickly emptied her pitcher. How did she do it? Quickly. Do you notice that? She moved with a purpose. She quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and what? Ran back to the well to draw water and drew for how many? Most of them. She left the last three undone. She drew for all his camels and the man wondering at her. So the Bible says that this man took 10 camels with him. Now here's where you're going to get a lesson in camels today. When you go to lunch today and you're at the restaurant, somebody asks you, what did you learn in church today? You can tell them, I learned about camels. So here's the reality. A camel can drink 20 gallons of water. So let's assume she used a 5-gallon jug because that's about the limit of what she'd be able to carry. Then Rebecca had to draw 200 gallons of water. Now, a gallon of water weighs over 8 pounds. So she had to drop this pitcher, this jar, down into the well and pull it up full of 5 gallons of water at a time, which is 41.65 pounds per pail. Let me say that again. 41.65 pounds per pail. Peter Piper picked. That's 40 trips to the well. She had to lift 1,666 pounds of water. It would have taken her almost half her day. And the Bible says she did it with a purpose. She did it quick and she ran. Can I tell you today, most people want to give minimum effort and receive maximum benefits. But Rebecca was the opposite. She gave maximum effort for minimal expectation. And she was chosen to be Isaac's wife. She was blessed with many gifts. Her family was blessed as a result. She marries into the wealthiest family on the planet. And most importantly, she becomes the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of man. Excellence set her apart. Now that's the Rebecca principle. Excellence paves the way for promotion in your life. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work, who's excellent at what he does? Watch. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Why? Because excellence sets him apart. Excellence promotes and elevates you and makes you the clear choice. And so why do I want to be excellent? It's not so that I can be promoted and become proud. It's so that I can increase my elevation and my platform to tell more people about Jesus Christ and influence them for the gospel and let them know that God loves them and I only am who I am today because of the grace of God, and for that I give him thanks, and if he did it in me, he can do it in you. How many of y'all believe that's true this morning? Amen. Now, excellence is a daily discipline. This is where we start separating the men from the boys. Excellence is a daily discipline. I'm about to cuss because we don't like discipline, do we? That nasty word, self-control. You know, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Well, let me try that again. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a sign of the Holy Spirit's influence in our life, that we have the ability to live with discipline. So here's my point there. Excellence is not simply great results. Anybody can get great results. But it's the discipline to repeat those results over and over again. Anybody can be a rock star one day. But it takes discipline, it takes excellence to be determined to be your best day in and day out. Because some days you don't feel like giving your best, do you? Let me talk to all the real folk for a minute. Some days you don't feel like they deserve your best. How about that one? Some days you just want to coast through and feel like that's good enough. But doing our best time after time, day after day, job after job, task after task, what happens is we earn a reputation for excellence. Somebody say reputation. A reputation is what you do repeatedly. It's what you're known for. People know you for what they see in you over and over and over again. And so that's important for us to present the best and to present Christ every single day. And when that happens, we're in high demand. Everybody wanted Daniel. Everybody wanted him on their team. For one, when we live with excellence, it's a sign of the favor of God on your life. There is a component of excellence that you cannot manufacture. And it is the fact that you are graced by God, and his favor or his light shining on you makes you illuminated so others will watch what you're doing. And I think about, there's a couple in this church. I don't think they're here this morning. They might come to second service. But everywhere they go, everyone they work with, hands down, they compliment them. When I talk to people that work with them in ministry here at the church, they are in high demand in every single one. Every time they're on that night, as in they're working that night, when they come out, people are praising them left and right, letting them know how amazing of a job they did. They always give the glory to God. He works at Lowe's. And everybody who works with him, when I run into other employees that work with this man, they all say what a phenomenal employee he is. And so everybody wants him on their team. And I'm talking about Kevin and Joanne Welch. Would y'all let them know, even though they're not here, how much you love them today? And so what happens is when we live like that and we're a blessing everywhere we go and people benefit from us being on their team, then we're in high demand. Well, how many of you know when they start asking for you at work, when they have a problem in their life, they're going to start asking for you to pray for them too. And it makes a big difference in our life and in theirs too. Excellence is a dedication to personal development. Excellence is a dedication to personal development. In other words, I need to continue growing every day. Fair enough? I need to continue developing myself every day. If we're not growing better, then we're falling behind. Can somebody say amen today? We've got to continue growing. We've got to dedicate ourselves to being our best. I don't have to be the best, but I do need to be my best. Because I'm not competing with anybody else. I'm competing with how well I'm doing, with how well I could have done. You get that? We're not comparing my best to somebody else's best. I just need to be able to know, Missy, when I lay down my head at night, that I gave the very best I could and I had nothing left to give. In other words, I've got to give it all I've got. And the key to our success, no matter what you're doing, is investing yourself completely, throwing yourself completely and totally into whatever it is you're doing. No matter what it is, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your business, whether it's raising children, whether it's being a Christian, you know, most people aren't growing very simply because they're not fully invested. And so we've got to throw ourselves in completely, wholeheartedly. We've got to do it not only with our heart, but it's got to come from our heart. Jesus said the first and the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, he says, I want you to be all in. That means we don't do anything halfway. We don't leave things half done. We don't run half speed. We don't give half effort. Why? Because I can't serve God half-heartedly when he bought all my heart. He shed his blood for all my heart, All of me belongs to him. I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. Come on. I have a calling and a consecration. God's put me here for a season, and he's put me here for a reason. And if I give him anything less than my best, then he can't be glorified by that. All of our ushers have a shirt on today. All the ushers, if you would just stand up. You can find one around you. And guys, turn and point at that 323 on your sleeve. It says 323 life. And it comes from Colossians 3:23. Would you let all of our ushers know how much you love them? I thank God for that usher in Antioch, Tennessee that stopped that shooter last week. Let me tell you, I'm not going to say anything there. I thank God for that guy. But anyway, Colossians 3:23 says we give nothing less than our best. Why? We do it all for the glory of God. Somebody say, nothing less than my best. Let's say it again, nothing less than my best. Let's say it again, nothing less than my best. That's a biblical principle over and over and over. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. Do it in such a way that it lifts Jesus higher. If you're digging a ditch, be the best ditch digger there ever was. If you're washing countertops, I mean, wash the laminate right off the top of them. They ought to put that Fabuloso on there. If you're a teacher, be the absolute best teacher you can possibly be. Go the extra mile. If you're a husband, be the best husband you can be. Whatever it is you're doing, do it all for the glory of God. And what that tells us is we're not driven. Satan drives. Taskmasters drive people. We're not driven to be our best. We're drawn to be our best because there's something greater in our future that God has created us for, and it has a gravitational pull that is drawing us closer to him. Only my best can glorify him. Only my best is pleasing to him. It's not okay to do any less than I can. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for me. Check this out, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Somebody say, God help me. He says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, he says, I want you to take everything you do in any given day, in any given week, and I want you to do it like it's the last thing you're ever going to do. I want you to do it like it's the last thing you're going to be remembered for. I want you to do whatever it is in front of you, whoever it is in front of you, give them your attention like it's going to be written on your epitaph. He says, I'm going to do it like Jesus is watching. Well, let me tell you, there ought to be a problem with that statement because Jesus is watching. And the Bible says he's going to reward us, Ephesians 6, 7, and 8. Work with enthusiasm. Somebody say, be enthusiastic. Work with enthusiasm. See, y'all failed right there. You didn't say that with enthusiasm. Let's try it again. Work with enthusiasm. As though, that's better, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. The reality is nothing changes until we begin to increase the standard of what we find acceptable. And we say, I will give nothing less than my best. Nothing changes until we grasp the magnitude of what it means, church, to have breath in your lungs today. It's not only a privilege, but it's a responsibility. God has created us for greatness. And my best today can get even better tomorrow because he takes me from height to height and from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what's called growth. And we must continue the process of pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zone to be better tomorrow than we are today. I want to be the very best at what I do. I want to be the very best husband I can be. I want to be the very best father I can be. I want to be the very best pastor I can be. I want to be the very best citizen of the United States of America that I can be. I want to be the very best Christian that I can be, not because I'm trying to earn daddy's approval, but because I've already got it. Hallelujah. We were sitting in the office this week, and I told John, I said, when we're done at the end of our lives, I said, the only thing I care about that you be remembered for is for being the greatest husband and greatest father you can possibly be. Because if we don't reach our families, church, then what does it profit to reach anybody else? Come on, that's our number one calling. Excellence begins in our heart and it begins in our house. Because at the end of our lives, you're only going to hear one of two things. You're going to hear, well done, or you're going to hear, well, you're done. I don't know about you, but I know which one I want to hear. And I'm pretty sure what I don't want to hear. Would y'all stand with me this morning? The spirit of excellence. Most people want to do a great job. They want to do it somewhere. They want to do it for somebody. And Bill, they want to do it someday. But being an excellent person is about doing the best you can with what you've got right now. I don't need to be the best. I just need to be my best because that's what Jesus gave me. And I want to leave you with this one scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And it says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always what? Always excelling or abounding in the work of the Lord. Always doing your best and doing more than is needed. I like that. Always being superior, that one says. Mine says, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile nor wasted, and it's never without a purpose. I want every person in this room to bow your head and close your eyes if you would. I know there are some of you here today that feel absolutely worn out by life. You feel absolutely exhausted. You say, Josh, this sounds completely exhausting to me. And I want you to understand that when we walk in it God's way, it's not exhausting, it's an adventure. Because every day I discover new possibilities that He's created me for. But I want to pray for you specifically and for every person in this room today that we would be marked by the spirit of excellence in these last days more than ever before. We've got to let the world see our works and give glory to our Father in heaven. That's how we shine our light. So Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come to you right now for each and every person in this place. And Father, I pray for restoration. I pray for peace. I pray for comfort and I pray for strength. I pray for a release and infusion of your supernatural grace right now that would fuel our lives. I pray today, God, for those who are weary and those who are worn down. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them now and that times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord would just rain upon them, shower upon them. God, I declare that we're entering right now today a season of refreshment from the presence, the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you for it this morning. I pray that for each and every one of us, God, our work would be marked by your spirit of excellence, that we would do everything the very best we can to lift you up and to bring you glory. And Father, as we do it, I pray that the world would notice it. And I pray that they would be drawn to you in us. And I pray that you'd fill our mouths with the words to speak, that we can bless them, God, and share with them the good news that you love us, that Jesus died for us, that he rose from the dead to defeat death, and we need not fear dying, but we can begin truly living through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his name. Father, we thank you and praise you. We give you glory now. We declare that we are people of excellence. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, can you give him praise and glory this morning? I love you. God bless you.